Right, 1, 2, 3. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Two Substitutes. We are back as promised for the start of the Premier League season to preview the upcoming games and just look ahead to the season. I'm joined by Akshay again. Welcome back, Akshay.
Hello, Varun. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good as well.
Keeping busy.
Yeah, very, very busy this time of the year, but looking forward to start of the next season.
Yes. Also getting very hot just these days. Climate change and all that.
Yeah, it's
good stuff.
It has been hot, but it's also been raining on and off, so
which is also kind of unpredictable. Like,
and we went to Phoenix, Arizona, like a few weeks ago.
Perfect place to go for.
So heat is probably much less over here. So I'm at least like not complaining about like heat, but. Is the rain, I guess, like
hair meaning in Virginia for those who are listening. Yeah. But I read that temperature in Arizona is actually more than in some parts of India now during the summer, which
like,
is crazy to think.
Yeah, it goes up to like 115 Fahrenheit to 120. So
it's, yes. It's good job, everyone. All right, then let's start then. With the season, are you excited for the season?
Yeah, I'm very excited this time. After a long time, I think Arsenal fans can be genuinely excited about the.
You have much higher expectations now.
Yeah, and just in general too, I think it's always great to see Premier League season back after the summer break.
Yeah. The transfer window is also about to close. I wish they had done the... Didn't they do the transfer window closing before the season for 1 year?
Yeah, they only did it for 1 year.
And then they gave up.
I think they realized that it's difficult to do it because other leagues' transfer windows are still open, and that just creates more problem if Premier Leagues is getting closed earlier than others, so it had to be like a global effort if they were to do it. So I think they are just like back to normal transfer window where it will close at the end of this month, like in August, after like 2 or 3 game weeks already for this season.
Makes sense. But so before we do the usual prediction stuff and all of that, we can talk about the transfer window and look at what clubs are doing across the league. What are you most excited about? What transfers have excited you? Other than... let's not talk about your club. So, that will make it a little more interesting.
Yeah, I think outside of Arsenal, there have been few clubs who are super active in this window. I think every club has done some interesting business.
Yeah.
I'm more looking forward to probably... if I had to like pick one club or one like specific signings, I would say like Sandro Tonali at Newcastle
Tonali
would be interesting to see. Because
we can pull
he's
up
been
the...
The player that everybody has talked about, and to see him in the Premier League will be great. And just from like transfer activity point of view for Newcastle, they'll be in the Champions League this season, and they needed to strengthen their squad.
Yeah,
but we don't really know if they'll be able to, sustain the heights that they reached last season.
Yeah,
with the Champions League to worry about as well.
Because perhaps this might have come too soon for them. Maybe even they were not expecting. To reach Champions League. Also, this will be an interesting test for Eddie Howe, who has not managed in Champions League before. So I'm actually interested to see how he does in the Champions League. Sandro Tonali is a good signing. They also signed Harvey Barnes from Leicester.
Right.
And abusing the relegation.
Livramento as well.
Livramento, which I'm like happy about. We got a sell-on clause money. But yeah, Livramento, yeah, also. So far there has not been like a big signing.
Yeah, I think their transfer strategy has been fairly low-key.
Yeah.
They've spent money, but they haven't gone after like big-name superstars and spending like exorbitant money on...
Right.
On anybody. So they've been very cautious with their signings and their plan. And we'll see how they do this season. And other club that I would also like to mention is probably Aston Villa. They are signing some underrated players, I would say, like Moussa Diaby, Pau Torres.
Yeah, Moussa Diaby is a good FPL option also for many teams from what I have seen.
Right, and they are also in talks of signing one more. I think there are like three signings that they've done that.
They also recently confirmed, I don't know if it was confirmed or not, but they took the sporting director or technical director of Barcelona, ex-Barcelona director, right, for their club. So they are making good progress as a club.
Yeah. Like
for a club who was in championship 2 or 3 years ago.
And last season, I think since the
appointment
of Emery, they're
having like good evenings.
Points total is very much comparable to top four teams.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see how they do this season now that he's settled and has preseason to work with his team. And they are in the Europa League as well, right?
Europa League or...
I think they're in Conference League. So, like, Emery has good pedigree in European competitions that he has been in. So, they'll also be
the
club to watch, I think.
For me, I think I'm looking at the list of transfers now. Let's see.
I think United will also probably will end up having a good transfer window. I think they are, like we were talking about Harry Maguire today.
they're
getting some good money for him. They're looking for a new center back.
Yeah.
They've signed the young striker, Hoyland, who will not be available for the beginning of the season.
He has some issues, but some people are saying that this is more in the media and he's actually okay. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's always unclear to know like what's going on behind the scenes.
But
at least what we know that he's not going to be available for the first few games and later on he'll be available. But they did spend a lot on him. And
who else did they sign? I just read today that they are interested in Benjamin Pavard as well. From Bayern Munich.
Yeah, they're looking for centre backs now to replace Maguire.
So he'll be a right back, which is a...
Yeah, I guess like, he can play both positions. So they're looking at Todibo as well.
Todibo,
Pavard, and there's one more guy they're linked with for centre back. And they've also signed Mason Mount.
Mount.
You shouldn't forget that.
No, I had forgotten clearly because it didn't come to my head, but now, yes. Thanks.
He was their first signing, I think, so off the window.
Yeah, Mason Mount, although that was not on my most excited about transfers.
Mm-hmm.
Guardiola I'm excited about to see how he performs. Usually... with any player that City sign with Pep there, it's almost like no hesitation in saying that he'll improve almost every player who goes there. So
with Pep, I think we've seen him take some time to gel his new signings in the team, and maybe later on maybe next season he'll have like a role to play, because right now I think like they have very good depth in defense, so I'm not sure like he can be like first choice right away.
I looked at the player that I'm excited about. I'm sure he is good, but he'll provide some entertaining moments. Andre Onana, Sure I'm really excited to watch him play.
The David De Gea saga as well, where they, I think, ended his contract or didn't offer.
Yeah, mutual termination. I think he's a free agent now, which was a little weird because he is a United legend, I think, now. But yeah, they signed Onana.
It would have been interesting if Maguire was still there. Maguire and him would have been
a good combo, but
amazing combination. I guess
there can only be one crazy in one club, so two crazies cannot live together, you know. Although, you know, I feel like Maguire will do well at West Ham because he was good at Leicester before he joined United.
Yeah, he does well for England as well when he doesn't get as exposed in those systems. So maybe at West Ham, he can do well just because of that. Because with United, Ten Hag wants the playing out from the back or playing with the high line, which Maguire is not great at. And there are already so many memes of him available when he gets into difficult
Harry
situations because of it.
There'll be no one to kick Man United players now. But Onana is my first.
Yeah, I would like to watch him on his debut game as well in the Premier League. And see whether he takes risks or not.
Yeah. I know he's a good player because in UCL also last season he broke the record or something of most number of saves or something. But yeah, he provides these entertaining moments also.
Already in the preseason. So yeah, there'll be entertainment from him for sure, I think, for opposition fans.
Yeah.
if you need some.
Another one that was surprising was Johnny Evans to Manchester United. He ended up for free. Okay, any other transfers you can think of? Alex McAllister went to Liverpool.
Yeah, Liverpool is signing
Szoboszlai also.
Szoboszlai, then McAllister, Szoboszlai. Who else they signed? I think they are closer with Southampton.
Yeah, Lavia.
Lavia, yeah.
Yeah, I think that will be done soon. The question is, so Chelsea and Liverpool are playing the first game. Mm-hmm. Both of us are looking at some players that we preferably want before that game.
Mm-hmm.
Us, Caicedo, and them, Lavia. Let's see if that can happen. For us, it's looking very unlikely.
It's very unlikely now, I think, because we're recording this on Wednesday. And the game's they'll be in the starting 11.
Exactly.
Right away,
yeah.
They'll need at least a couple of days to train with the squad and whatnot. So
yeah.
I would say that you can give up on all the hopes of having
given up
against Liverpool.
Yeah, usually though, from the history, that game screams of a 0-0. Most, four of the last five games have ended up 0-0. Every time you expect goals and nothing happens.
Usually on first day though, there are lots of goals.
That is true, but then... Yeah. Also, another spammer in the works is Anthony Taylor. That guy is refereeing this game. He is returned from... He must be excited to start his new season with a bang by giving someone red card. A Chelsea player. I'm excited. Last time he managed our game, that I remember was when Tuchel was our manager and he had that fight with Conte and he was the manager. He instigated that fight. He was the referee then.
Other active club has been Spurs as well.
Spurs, today they signed Mickey van der Ven.
Van der Ven.
I just know that he's very fast. That's all I know. He's a pacey centre back.
I don't know much about him, but Spurs have... I think James Maddison is probably their bigger signing.
Yeah, James Maddison.
Have this left back as well, Udogi. Who else they signed?
There are a few that I'm seeing here.
Vicario.
Vicario, who has been... I don't know if... it looks like he'll be starting most of the games.
Yeah, I think he will be there starting most.
First choice,
now.
Okay.
Now that Lloris isn't there anymore.
Yeah, they got Salomon on a free from Tottenham Hotspur, from Shakhtar. Kulusevski was also confirmed. What else? Pedro Porro. Vicario, like you said, yeah. James Maddison. The big thing with Spurs would be, can they keep Harry Kane? So far, it's been looking like he's set to stay. Daniel Levy is rejecting any bid from Bayern Munich. And maybe Bayern Munich are not interested in meeting the actual price that Levy wants for him.
Yeah, which is strange though, because he only has a year left on his contract, and he will probably leave for free then if they don't sell him. So I think that at this stage in his career, I think like 80 to 100 million is probably fair price. And
yeah,
but obviously, like, we don't know more details behind the scene what Spurs is looking for, but at least to me, or like for us to look at it from outside, it seems like reasonable fee considering how the markets are these days.
Yeah, I think, what would you think of him if he doesn't leave? I know some people online were saying like, oh, he'll not win any trophies, what's the point? But I think it in a way it is admirable if he still chooses to stay with Spurs, because he is still remaining professional, like he's playing every game, he's not causing any fuss. So like in today's era, even though I don't like Spurs, but this they're like one club man is very difficult.
Even before he wanted to move away from Spurs, and he didn't, even last season
because of Levy.
He wanted to move, but that didn't happen, and he still played and he still scored goals.
Yeah.
And with him, at least, like, what you can guarantee is goals, and he'll definitely get like more than 25 goals every season. And he is Mr. Consistent, I would say, in the Premier League.
If he doesn't go, one motivation would be to become the all-time EPL scorer. He's close to breaking, like, if he carries this form and continues, he can easily break Shearer's record, I think.
Yeah. And also, like,
he has already broken English goal scoring record too.
And also, like, for, like, you can't blame him if club doesn't approve his sale, right? Like, if Spurs are refusing to sell, even though him requesting that transfer, or even if he is willing to move to Bayern, if that doesn't happen because club doesn't want him to go, then I guess he'll have to accept it at least for this season, and then next season he can leave for free.
Moving a little outside of England now, across Europe, we can include Saudis also if you want, but because a lot of transfers are happening there. But one other transfer saga that's causing a lot of, that's in the news a lot, is the Mbappe saga. Where is he going to stay at PSG? Is he going to Real Madrid? Where is he going? Because clearly there's a big rift between him and PSG now. Today I was reading even Neymar wants to leave.
Yeah, so there are reports that Neymar could leave if other clubs come in. He's like wanting to move, but he can.
Yeah.
And with Mbappe is another story altogether, where they want to sell him if he's not ready to sign new contract. And I think
he's
that
refusing.
Will drag on until the end of the, like,
so far
on deadline day, or towards the final week of the window, something will happen.
Can they really force him to sign? Because he's not looking like he'll accept, and he's ready to go.
Yeah, I don't think, like, he will. And there is this rift between him and the club right now, so I don't think there'll be any friendly outcome of what's happening right
now. And he is not going to Saudi league also. He's said that even with that massive amount of money he got. When that was announced, when the Saudi league announced the paycheck that he'll be getting, a lot of players from football world and also American football world saw that. They were eager. They were tweeting at the Saudi club saying, can you sign me as well? Was funny. But yeah, maybe, I don't know if top is it possible that other top European clubs can sign him for a season-long loan just for him to go to Real Madrid next season?
I don't know. I mean, it is possible.
But what I was saying, like, should a top club or would a top club agree just for a season-long loan to cover his massive wages?
Maybe there will not be shortage of takers for him, even though if it's for one season.
Yeah, I guess if it's a loan, it's they'll see as like if you're going to sign this to a World Cup winner and a player of his ability. It would also give you exposure.
The only problem with him is that there are very few clubs who can afford his wages.
Yeah.
So, his options are limited anyways, so...
Yeah. I know Real Madrid can probably afford him, but they don't want to because they know he might come for free.
Right. Like, if they know that next summer they can just get him for free and... right now, if they were to sign him, like it will need at least like more than 100 million.
Yeah.
Or so.
This experiment didn't work at all for PSG. The big, massive, Messi, like Neymar, Mbappe.
They're all leaving, and it's.
Maybe now they'll win the Champions League. None of them are playing now.
And they have signed new players as well this season. And
yeah, let's see their signings.
This talk of, I think. Usman Dembele or...
Yeah, it was. He's confirmed, right?
Let's see.
Or not confirmed yet, but they have Gonzalo Ramos they've signed on loan.
Yeah.
Only two players so far, but...
There's one midfielder they signed as well.
PSG transfers.
Can't remember his name, but... quickly check.
Ugarte, that
was in the beginning of the window.
He
was also very heavily linked with Chelsea and I think that,
but maybe their team is looking
Lee as well. I think is a new
from Mallorca
coming player. Javi Simmons is too, like from
Hugo Ekitike. I know a few Premier League clubs were also interested in him.
So but they did sign players, but none of them is like.
Yeah, it's looking more before this ownership change happened.
Sensio, I think, was a free transfer. Was a free transfer.
And they have Luis Enrique as their manager, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe he has experience with the.
So, I mean, it's not that like they've signed bad players. I think
imagine if they win the UCL now. It was the secret was there all along.
Strengthen their squad with okay players, not like all big superstars.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Messi, Neymar, caliber players.
Some more, you know, the controversy, or maybe it's not a controversy, and I'm just making it up now. That Qatar has already hosted the World Cup, so the PSG experiment is done now. So they are back to. But yeah, so that's the big saga. Saudi League, yeah, we can talk about it a little bit. A lot of it's not just the old players going there now, it's the younger ones also that are leaving. There's a guy called Ibanez who is 21 years old, he's upcoming Portuguese player, I think. I don't know where he moved from, but he also has gone to Saudi League.
Yeah, they're changing the football landscape now in the same way like Premier League changed
from Roma
with high wages and big transfer fees and
he was a starter for Roma, this guy. It's looking a little bit different than what the Chinese league did a few years ago,
because they never like signed players of this caliber. Like they did sign good players, but they were
they were offering
Benzema.
Big money, but to players like Igalo or
right, so they were like
Oscar was good, but not
average or below average players from
Hulk.
Big league standards, but now in Saudi League you have pretty much like players of every caliber with
they have Mahrez now, Sadio Mane, Koulibaly, Kante,
Benzema.
Current Ballon d'Or winner is with them. So imagine that.
Ruben Neves. Yeah, there are a lot of players that are moving there, and
Cristiano Ronaldo
has actually helped some clubs to to raise money.
Yeah, some clubs like me, Liverpool also.
And, Liverpool too. I think Jordan Henderson.
Yeah, I was happy to see, because Liverpool fans usually are in their high horses. You know, our club is a saint. We don't deal with. But the thing is, none of these us fans actually know that all of these top clubs have some dealings one way or the other with Saudi League. FIFA has dealings with them. UEFA has. You can't avoid them. You just, I guess, have to support your team, and that's it. Don't, if you think too much about it, you'll discover so many minor dealings, major dealings with all of this stuff.
Yeah, if they become like an option of choice, let's say like all of these transfers and these players like are happy playing there, and that is just going to make it difficult for other leagues to compete with them.
Yeah.
Because like most of the things in football industry like also work as like word of mouth, because players are meeting others in during international break,
and yeah,
if you see somebody of your caliber or maybe a lesser player earning like way more than what you're doing in your current club, that's going to definitely raise some eyebrows and might like spark even more exodus out of these big leagues into Saudi.
Yeah, you wonder, would this cause like young players to not be passionate about football or not get excited? You know, like some players just build their career for that. But maybe if this continues,
yeah, they might. I think it's an interesting thing to think about, where like, you know, someone like Ruben Neves, he openly said that he's going there.
Think about the family and
for
stuff.
Money, yeah,
exactly.
He has to think about family, and you know, if we can get like
which is also
two
valid
seasons in Saudi and then like come back to Europe again.
Yeah,
I think that might still be a good option
it's
for players to look at, right? Like
business type thinking. So
right, like you can pretty much like earn as much as you need,
yeah,
as much as you will earn in like a career in a big five league.
Maybe
like just going there and do the same thing in 2 years and then like still have a lot of time to play in those big leagues.
Exactly. Maybe if you don't, this is a big thing to not look at the human rights thing or whatever. Maybe if somehow this, I know football is supposed to be a global sport, so if maybe something can come good out of this, or we can't think of it, but we'll see.
I mean, one good thing could happen is it can raise standards of that league.
Yeah.
It might also increase viewership. And
I
recently read that in UK there is some broadcasting company
that broadcast this Saudi league.
Like they're thinking of broadcasting Saudi league games in UK, and that can raise more money as well from viewership. And if at all like it becomes more popular that way, then it's also going to further enhance their capacity to bring on even more players. And
in the new Champions League format that's happening, World Champions League thing, that will allow players, clubs from different continents to compete in a World Cup style format. Would be interesting. Although the player fatigue thing is something that needs to be managed, because that is clearly causing a lot of problems. We saw in the World Cup already, and it's only increasing. So we'll see. But now I guess we can talk about your own club's transfers, my club transfer, and then just move on to our predictions for the season. So what do you, Arsenal have done some good business. Very good business, I think, except for Kai Havertz, I mean. But I'm happy that you got him. Took some wages off our books. But who are you most excited about?
I think I'm most excited about
Timber. Yes, that was my answer also.
All of the signings, just because he gives
very different type of defender,
depth in defense as well. Like he was like in Community Shield, he was playing at left back.
He was playing the Zinchenko
role, but he's naturally like a
right back
or a center back. So
yeah.
he is just like one player who gives so much depth.
Options,
that he can
yeah.
cover like pretty much any position at the back, and also gives the opportunity for us to mimic what we do on the left hand side in a game state to replicate it on the right hand side, where like, you know, teams might have figured out now that okay, their left back inverts into midfield and that's how they play, and
I think kind of Timber like is a better defender than Zinchenko also.
Right, that is also
because we I remember Zinchenko got caught a few times last season in defense.
In his like recent interview with Rio Ferdinand, he also admitted that that's his like weakness that he's working on, and that's a pretty good interview. I think we should watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Before leaving today, and so yeah, he's a good defender, and he's also just he's sort of like classic AX player where he can just play in any position and you wouldn't notice. Like he can play center back. He's
right
not
back.
That good in the air, but he's very good on the ball in pretty much like any position on the field, and you could see that in the Community Shield as well. And
in preseason he has looked good.
Right,
so we'll see.
I'm more excited about him because we can play him pretty much like wherever we need.
Mm.
So it's like a Swiss Army knife, but a pretty good one.
Declan Rice also actually can play in defense as well. So he can be a center back if you need
it.
But so far Timber has looked the most promising out of all of those three.
Right, yeah, in the preseason too, I think he has been our best player out of the new signings.
Yeah. So you have Timber, Rice, and Havertz, right, that you signed? Or is there anyone else?
David Raya.
Today, it's not confirmed yet, but it's looking like a loan.
Will soon be confirmed.
Yes, that would be interesting because you have now, because I'm sure Ramsdale would be starting the season for Arsenal.
Yeah.
And if he continues to do well, Raya might not get chances.
Right.
Or he'll get chances in cups.
So like I was saying, right, like it's a very bold decision by to sign keeper of Raya's caliber, and we were linked with him even before, like when we signed Ramsdale, we were linked with David Raya, and it didn't happen that time, and our
so now you got
coach
both.
was his personal coach before in his like
this is the same story as
childhood days, so they have very good like father-son relationship, and that's why like
so he got
we
him
were
in the family
on him even before, so I don't know like how that affects the dynamics at the club, because there is like a goalkeeping coach who really prefers like
Raya.
One keeper like Raya because he has worked with him so much and he's the one who built him up what he is right now. So it's going to be interesting for Ramsdale and also for David Raya and see. But for us, like positively, like we now have two goalkeepers who are very much like at equal level, if not like there's not much to choose between the two, I feel like, even though David Raya is better in terms of I guess like long distribution.
Right.
And probably more comfortable on the ball than Ramsdale. But Ramsdale's personality is pretty big. Like, you know, every opposition.
He's an annoying goalkeeper. Even if he looks like Pickford, slight upgrade on Pickford, but yeah, he's a Pickford type goalkeeper.
And he is driven by like this like stick, right? Like he likes when opposition spectators give him a bit of stick at goal post, and that's what excites him. So I don't think any club has two keepers of that caliber. So sometimes you might also think that we are just sort of like overdoing in one position. And I was like jokingly saying that maybe Arteta will just like substitute one goalkeeper. It's just like five subs available now, and
we
have pretty good squad depths. Sub on the goalkeeper who is more specialized depending on how the game is going.
Yeah. And the confusing part a little bit is that you signed Havertz, which I guess because Jesus is injured, he would be a 9. But maybe Arsenal fans would have expected an actual number 9 for them if they are, because it looks like they are not giving Balogun a chance to play.
No.
And NKTIA is clearly not that type of a level
player.
Yeah, I think
this transfer window, we went for more versatility. We talked about it last season as well. Like, Arteta really likes players who can play in multiple positions.
He's playing also ultimate like
players
team.
Who are players who are young but with experience. So I think Odegaard is a prime example of a player that Arteta likes, where he's still 24 but has played so much football now that nobody thinks that he's 24. Like, same with Timber too, right? Like, he was,
but I think
he
more
was playing in the Champions League when he was like 19, 20.
But I think now more and more players you will see, not just in Arsenal, but in general, you are seeing more youngsters who have just played a lot of football with top clubs now.
Right.
But
that's where he's going. So Havertz like gives
but
that
we have
option of having somebody in number 9.
But I know he gives you an option. But my question was, we have seen that he is not good at that position. Then what's the point of the option that isn't a good option?
I think every coach backs himself to make that positive change. So say like maybe Arteta could be thinking, I can work with him, or I see enough here that I can improve him or whatnot.
He paid a lot for him, so he has to make it work, I guess, because...
And that's a big gamble too, right? Like, we paid like 60 million for him.
Yeah.
And, if it doesn't work out, then it'll be
bad. And he is on high wages also.
And Arteta, I feel like what I've seen with him is like he's very set on his vision and he's very specific about what he wants, and
at least
really
your
like
club is supporting him like from top down,
right? And he goes like above and beyond for things that he likes to have within the team, and the board is supporting him, which is good to see. And we can see results on the pitch too, right? Like, he's always like trying things with different formation, different players, and now we don't really know like how we are going to play this season, because signings are all interesting. Like, you know, Havertz could, like, unfortunately Gabriel Jesus is injured, but otherwise like we would
as usual
see Havertz in more advanced, like
initially he was planning to play him as 8, number 8,
like on the number 8 on the left hand side, similar to Odegaard, who is more attack minded but like dropping back in helping out the main holding midfielder as well. Now, like, I guess like we'll see Declan Rice in that role, probably, and then Thomas Partey being like the main holding midfielder.
Thomas Partey was supposed to be sold from what we heard initially, but it looks like he is not going.
Yeah, I think we are open to sell him, but looks like there.
I prefer not to talk about that guy, but
there's no good offer for him, but I think if there is any offer, probably club will entertain that. But in which case, like, we'll need to sign
another.
We also have Jorginho, though.
You can say you have a top 3 Ballon d'Or player in your squad right now. You're welcome.
Yeah, that's cool. So, we have lots of options this season, and I'm excited to see like what Arteta is trying to do and how we do it. But although like in preseason we haven't looked that convincing so far. Like last season we were just like blowing teams away in preseason, and that kind of like
gave you the momentum,
right? That gave momentum in the main season as well, like kind of like continue playing in the same manner. But this time it's more like all of the signings have been interesting. They give different options, but also there's not much time to try all of these things. And
I think last season most of your new signings gelled immediately. Zinchenko, Jesus, they were initially they fit like a
glove.
Yes.
And I think the reason for that was like they had worked with Arteta before.
Yeah.
And they were asked to play very much similar roles that they were doing at City. So they had like already connection with Arteta. Like, these players, they haven't worked with Arteta. Maybe the system that they were
playing. And Arteta is also trying to change his style a little bit more,
right?
I think. Because one of the moments in the preseason was, and I read about this also, that he's trying to do is, if you get pressed a lot more, there is a more direct route to Havertz. That's why he got Havertz, so he can hold the ball up.
Like last season, we didn't have any option to go long. And like, we can also have our right back invert into midfield and have similar dynamic replicate on the right hand side, which will be interesting to see. So it's more predictability for the opposition to think about and what the team will do, and that will hopefully be beneficial, but obviously that's easier said
on paper. Yeah, well, and easier said, easier done in the preseason than in the actual. Who are you playing in the first game? Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, we're playing against Forest and hoping to.
You have you got another good run, man. I'm annoyed by this.
Your first
five games are good, I think.
Yeah, I mean last season we did not have a good run.
We had
played like
good
Crystal Palace away in our first game.
Yeah, but your first six games were still not. You played a big team late, like after seven or eight games, I think.
Yeah.
I remember because you won all of your first six games. But yeah, Nottingham Forest, you would expect to win, although they won against you last season, right?
Or yeah, they drew, I think.
They go by that long ball route and they have the big striker up front, Avoni, who holds the ball up well.
Yeah.
So this will be a good test. I'm excited for the season to start.
I mean, I'm happy that it's a home game, so I'm more confident. Otherwise, I would not be so confident on first day, usually against
nerves.
Aminos, like anything can happen with home support.
Yeah.
But playing at home with all the big money transfers, I think it'll be exciting to see.
So that is Arsenal. Where are you? Should we do the prediction after we talk about the respective teams and then?
Okay. Yeah.
For Chelsea, yeah, I can talk about Chelsea. The circus is continuing to go on. Preseason. Actually, we have looked one of the better teams in preseason if you compare all of the teams in the league.
Yeah.
But the tragedy has struck as soon as the season was about to start with Nkunku. Who looked really good in preseason. He had good partnership going on with Nicholas Jackson up front, who is also looking like a under the radar signing and has worked out really well so far. But yeah, Nkunku is now out for at least 16 weeks, which is 4 months. And then I'm guessing he'll take time to get match fit also. So he'll only be available next year. That's my guess.
Yeah, I mean,
which is sad. I feel sad about him also because he was an exciting player to play in the Premier League. So yeah, we'll see. But other than that, most of our team is looking good. We managed to sell some of the players who were not performing, thanks to Saudis and also Arsenal and United for they paid a lot more than we expected for our players. So that was good. We signed Nicholas Jackson. A surprise player that emerged for us was Ian Maatsen, who played well for Burnley. He was in their team.
He's a left back,
but he has played everywhere except left back in preseason for us and played really well. He played as a cam, he played as a right winger, he played as a left winger. One time he was partnering a striker up front. So Pochettino liked him, and like you said, with Arteta, I think Maatsen also provides its versatility. So Pochettino said he wants to keep him and we'll see if he starts against Liverpool. Other Nicholas Jackson, I mentioned already, is looking good. His preferred formation seems to be 4-2-3-1 with the Chilwell, Reece James. If they don't get injured, they are our best fullbacks.
Yeah.
And then Thiago Silva and Levi Colwill as the centre back pairing. Colwill was another we extended his contract, which was a good thing. Take that, Brighton. That is what our last season has done to us. We are competing with Brighton now. It's no shame. Brighton are a good team. But so those four in defense and then midfield. If we don't get Caicedo, it will be Enzo Fernandez and maybe from the preseason, it's looking like it could be Gallagher. Which I'm not too excited about, but we'll see. Maybe hopefully Pochettino can improve him. Or Andre Santos, who has looked good. He's just 18 years old, but he has played well. He's a new Brazilian player we signed last season. he just got his work permit, so hopefully he'll get some chances for us. And then in attack, it will be this will be a big season for Mudrik. And he has been given the number 10 shirt. Big for him. Because Pochettino, my hope is that Pochettino managed to get the best out of Son, because he wasn't playing that well before he improved him. So I'm hoping that Pochettino can do the same with Mudrik as well, hopefully. Because there is talent there. Arsenal were interested in, you know.
Yeah, his pace is definitely super noticeable. Like, yeah. He's just like super quick on the ball and on the ball as well. And
so,
if somebody can improve him or like make him a better player, he'll be very devastating.
Yeah.
In terms of like damage he can do to opposition.
Yeah. Maybe more of the teams who go on attack, like he can be
like a super ideal counter-attacking player.
Yeah,
where there is like space to run into, and
yeah,
you just somehow get him in behind and work on finishing, and like you could see a lot of goals from him.
Yeah. So that is one player that's still with us that I'm not feeling comfortable about is Sterling. He has not looked good at all in preseason. I don't know what's going on. He is not the same player who played for Man City. I know there is difference between City and us. City made him, maybe City made him look good just because of the level of the players he was playing with. And Guardiola, of course, he got so many more chances than he will with us.
He's playing on right wing though, right?
Most of the time, yes. I think
with Liverpool he was right wing, but yeah, City he was on the left.
But he scored most of his goals from right wing. The thing is, in preseason he's always running into players. Even if he tries to dribble, he
yeah. I mean, I was fails. Excited to see him go to Chelsea and see what he can do, but so far it hasn't worked out for him. He seemed like short of confidence. Like whenever I saw him play, like he didn't appear as like same
interested
that we.
I don't know if you got the feeling like he doesn't look interested at all.
Feel like there's something missing. Like he just doesn't.
You know how
feel that he's in the game or not.
Yeah, right? So if players miss chances or do something wrong, they feel bad. You don't get that feeling from him. Like it looks like he's just going through the motions.
Because I remember him sort of like being one of the most influential player even in City's attack.
Yeah. He was. Yeah. He's in the top rankings for the number of goals and assists, goal contributions he has made. So,
So it's
and he is on high wages as well. So him and Kepa are the only remaining players now. Who
the only thing is that so far I don't think like any recent signings have worked very well at Chelsea. So you could say that, and probably this season might be different for him.
Yeah, most of the recent signings. Like, give me an example, because we have sold almost all of them now, except for Sterling and.
I mean, I would still include Havertz or
whatever. Havertz, you have sold. Okay, you are saying in general.
Us. Nobody has like sort of like gone on to become like the best in the league level player.
Yeah.
That you have signed in recent times, so. So like Cucurella, for example.
Cucurella, Cucurella is the one, that's still here. And he also didn't look good actually in the preseason.
There was Koulibaly last season, was like sold out. There was Hakim Ziyech, who's now like out of the club. And
he's not out yet. He's still with us.
Oh, okay.
Him and Lukaku
again.
Lukaku is still
so
with
there
us.
There are like so many examples that come to mind that haven't worked out, so I feel like maybe like we're just like over analyzing Sterling, where it's just that environment or just the entire team wasn't functioning that well, so that made it difficult for any player.
I don't think we are over analyzing him, because he has that experience. He's not a youngster, like you have to tell him to do something. He has a lot of experience. Now he's 28 years old. Plus, I would like to remind people that we got sanctioned we almost didn't exist a year ago. So it's still I'm giving these owners like a few more years, I think. So far it's looking like they've realized their mistakes that they did last season when they were new, and they have tried to correct it, which I appreciate, but we'll see how.
I mean, in this window, like, what's puzzling to me with Chelsea is about signings that they're making,
youngsters,
young players. It's like,
yeah, they are getting ready for players, future.
It feels
when
like
that future may never come.
Like, right, like, you have bigger holes to fill right now in the team that are not getting filled, but they are signing youngsters. It might work out in the long term, but in short term, like you're saying, right, like, there's no one to play in defensive mid.
And, we have been crying out for a DM before this ownership also. And then all of this stuff happened, the sanctions and stuff. We lost some of the players on free transfer, like important Rudiger and Christensen we lost for free because of the old ownership. And DM we didn't have, never signed a DM. And we are still looking for a DM. And we might still not get a DM if Brighton continue to...
Yeah, so that is more puzzling to me. Like, every window, they'll try something radical that... We think, like, you know, last time we were talking about, like, okay, like, if this works, like, long contracts, players and whatnot. So we didn't work out this time. Like, it's more about, like, getting youngsters from Brazil. And we'll see, like, what happens with this strategy. But they at least, like, funding isn't a problem. Like, they're finding
ways
to sell players.
Yeah, you cannot complain of their...
And sort of, like, get back to... And get out of that trouble, I guess, like...
And also, you can't complain of them not giving our academy any motivation to succeed. Because every young player except for Mount... Now, that is what makes me a more angry towards Mount, I guess. Or I don't know what happened. I can't blame him also. Maybe something just went wrong. It had to, because it's not like we are not offering any academy players contracts. Reece James today was announced as our captain, which is a big thing for him. He's 23 years old. Being announced captain for Chelsea is good. We have extended contracts of Lewis Hall, who will go on loan to Crystal Palace now. Ian Matson, we have extended contract. So yeah, but other than that, our first game is against Liverpool. Excited for the nil-nil that is going to happen. Klopp versus Pochettino, Anthony Taylor, big stage is set. Super Sunday. Where do I expect my team to finish is maybe... I would be happy if we can be somewhere in top six.
I think that's probably realistic.
Based on last season.
Pochettino.
Yeah.
You can already see difference in preseason. And I think, like, transfer window is yet to be closed. There will be new players coming in. And
hopefully...
If
Caicedo comes in, it will be a big sign. Because he... He changes a lot, because he is, like, along with he's one of the best center midfielders or defensive midfielder in the league, I think. But if we don't sign him, it will be hard. We are looking at Tyler Adams as well, who is also injured. So I don't know what's the point of signing another injured player to fill the void. Let's do the predictions, I guess. I was going to ask, where do you expect us to finish? But we can do it in the league predictions.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
let's do only top four and bottom
top five,
three.
Because there will be five Champions League places now. Okay. We can do five.
Okay.
And then bottom three, which usually never... I know last season, both of us made mistakes because no one expected Leicester.
Leicester.
Maybe Southampton was in our...
Southampton, I think we got one.
Yeah, we got... Who got relegated last season? Southampton, Leicester and Leeds. No, we only got one right.
Okay.
I think we got Southampton right. And this was also the first time in a long time that all three promoted teams were not relegated. Like, any of the top three. So, for new season, prediction time. This is for funsies. Because we know nothing about football.
Prediction is anyone's guess.
Guys, we don't claim to be experts. Yeah, so for you, let me be Sherlock Holmes and just say you are predicting Arsenal to win the title.
And you're absolutely right.
Yes, Sherlock Holmes.
I have to, considering what we did last season. And I'm not predicting Arsenal, then I don't know like what season I'd predict us to win the title.
This time I'm actually making a Google Sheet document here. I will post this on Twitter.
Nice.
So we can see. Okay, so you are predicting Arsenal number one.
Yes.
And then let's do second. Who is second for you?
Man City.
Second Man City.
Which is kind of obvious.
Yeah, top two. It's just what have you done for me recently? okay, Arsenal, Man City. Who is third for you?
Third is
United. You will never put United in top four.
Nah, I mean, I think United could finish fourth. Third, I'll go with.
Of course, you didn't.
Liverpool third.
Oh, Liverpool, okay.
Although, like, they didn't have good last season, so there's like recent history wise.
Okay.
Might not be a good prediction, but I just feel like it's Klopp and he has reached heights.
And he would want to improve.
They have signed players and they might sign like Lavia in midfield and Salah is still there. Pretty good with so many options now. Luis Diaz,
Gakpo, Nunes, Jota,
Nunes,
Salah.
Yeah. So like Szoboszlai as well, McAllister as well. So
Szoboszlai, man. If Kepa plays, I'm
Trent playing is in the new role that we saw towards the end of the season. So like Klopp is also adapting to this. Someone moving into midfield from defense. So I feel like Liverpool will.
In their preseason, they also conceded in defense. Maybe they are not looking comfortable, but it's preseason, so we'll see. Mm-hmm. But so Liverpool is still your third, and then fourth.
Man United.
Fourth, United.
Not happy to say this, but I think they have plugged big holes in their team, especially with goalkeeping. I think De Gea was preventing them from comfortably playing out from the back. So Onana now gives them that option. They're also selling Maguire, so we don't have our friend anymore. And they have signed a striker too, although like it's unclear when he'll be fully available, but that was another signing that they had to make in this window. They've done that, so
and then the final fifth position
is
your options are let's see, who can be your options? Brighton, Aston Villa.
Brighton, Aston Chelsea, Villa, if you Chelsea, want. Spurs.
Spurs.
Yeah. A lot of good teams there, I think. Newcastle too, like Newcastle. We are ignoring, but
Luton Town.
Like fifth, I think I'll go with Chelsea. I think that, will make them better. And for Spurs, it's like they are having good season, but a lot of it might depend on whether Kane stays or leaves.
Yeah.
So it's unclear. If he stays, maybe they can fight for it. If he leaves, that's a big, big problem for them. Like, because Richarlison hasn't been that good for them in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether they can replace Kane with somebody of equal output at all.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's not like they signed Kane. He just came from their youth system and it turned out good, which also who made him? It's Pochettino.
Right.
So these are your top five.
Yeah.
Arsenal, Man City, Liverpool, United, Chelsea.
Classic, traditional.
Okay. My predictions are also Arsenal.
Wow, winning I'm surprised.
I am surprised also, but I think maybe this is no reasoning at all. These are predictions, but my because they have won the treble, maybe Pep will
That's
try to relax
like
a little bit.
There hasn't been any team who has won four consecutive titles in the Premier League, so they'll have that motivation. But at the same time, like they've done treble last season.
They've lost players, and they've not replaced them yet with the
same
caliber. Yeah, because they replaced Gundogan, but they got Kovacic, who doesn't give them as many goal scoring options. He's a good player, but
yeah,
we'll see. And also, even if Pep improves him, like Grealish, it will take time, maybe, which might not be enough to win them the league. Who else? Guardiola is an excellent signing for them. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see. But yeah, I see Arsenal.
Who else
winning.
They lost? Like Riyad Mahrez.
Riyad Mahrez, they lost. Bernardo Silva is still at the club. Today I read that City might be looking at Paqueta as well.
Yeah, they are going after him. And
they woke up late in
like
the...
Looks like West Ham wants a player as well in there. They're not happy with 70 million.
Yeah, they want more.
City is offering, so they want more. Or
this 70 million is nothing now in today's transfer market.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are my reasons for Arsenal... winning. And apart from Havertz, also they have done good business, Arsenal I mean, with Declan Rice and Timber. Trossard could be a surprise.
Yeah, I
if
feel
he
like
stays fit.
Not many people are talking about him, but
because
I feel like he'll have big part to play this season.
Yeah, if he gets his chances, because I
he's very...
Because he usually comes on as a substitute. I'm still thinking he'll come on as a substitute because he'll... Arteta will play Havertz as
like
a nine.
He has confirmed his impact sub.
Yeah.
But I think like he can play in the Champions League, and also he's an interesting player where he's sort of like pretty much similar to Gabriel Jesus, where he comes in... like drops deep from attack and try like wants to link up with players rather than like getting isolated.
But he has better
like,
goal scoring than Jesus.
He is like his finishing is super clinical with both feet.
And he probably has scored more important goals than Martinelli. In big games.
Right. And last season he also hit the bar like in important situations, like four times
hit
the bar, he could have scored. So it's like
you don't get points for hitting the bar. That's
no,
weird.
He's very clinical in his finishing with
hitting the bar is not clinical
on both sides, and
he has good shot
best,
in him. Yes,
player in preseason in attack. So
yeah,
I think that he should get chances, obviously, and it'll be interesting to. I mean, I'm definitely happy that we signed him last season.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, Arsenal are my choice, and Man City are second. I have to put them second because it's Guardiola. He won't take anything less than second. And their team is still not... I feel like maybe Arsenal are the only one at the moment who can compete with them. Liverpool are my surprise team to cause them problems. And maybe even with their limited quality that they have so in the team because of Klopp. I think Klopp has the best record out of all the managers in the Premier League against Pep. If I'm at least in the top teams. So I see Liverpool third. If I wanted to go different from you, I could have put actually Liverpool second or it's very interchangeable, you know. I would only see Man City, one of Man City or Liverpool winning the title, but it could have been like Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Arsenal.
Okay, so you're sort of like, these are your top three.
Yeah, it's instead of top two. If I have to think about it, it would be top three, I think, for me, competing very closely because of Klopp. United, they have done good transfer business as well. They got rid of Maguire as well, or about to, I think. It's not confirmed yet.
I'm very sad.
I'm also sad. We'll miss some good moments. But they acquired Onana, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, somebody to look after or and to look forward to.
Yeah, and like you mentioned earlier about how I don't know how you say his name. It's Hoyland or Hodgeland.
Hoiberg,
Hoivier
type.
Yeah, but this is Norway. Maybe they pronounce it the same in Scandinavian countries. So the Scandinavian brothers in opposite parts of Manchester. Let's see how he performs. And Erik ten Hag looks like he has that similar authority at the club that Arteta has. So so far everything is looking like they are he's being supported.
Right.
Maybe not to that level because they have not managed. They could have signed Harry Kane. They didn't want to spend that kind of money.
I think that's the only thing that can prevent Ten Hag from reaching the heights, I think, because he's never fully backed, I think. Last season he wanted Frankie De Jong that he didn't get.
And injuries are also another issue because I know Rashford is fit now, but he has injury issues.
Yeah, and then like Haaland is already injured. Martial is usually unavailable. And Sancho was having like different issues that prevented him from consistently playing.
Right. They have Antony.
So they have Mason Greenwood issues to deal with. So like Ten Hag has a lot of off the field issues to deal with as well.
Those, the Greenwood issue, I don't, because it's Premier League, Partey is playing in first team, let's not talk about that, but they have issues, and they have Antony who's, let's see if he continues his spinning from last season.
Fidget spinner, 80 million.
So, I'll be different from you then, I'll put actually Chelsea fourth.
Okay.
I want to support my club, and also we don't have any Europe this season which can help us, even though we have now the youngest team or maybe the second youngest team in the Premier League, and as I said, like captain is now also Reece James, who is young. We are betting big on these young players. If we can get rid of Lukaku, who is somehow still here, I would be happy. So, just to be different from you, I would put Chelsea fourth and United fifth.
Okay.
But if I want to be really, really different,
you could think about
Chelsea winning the league.
Well, you can put them higher
because
as well.
Because last time we did this type of a thing where we finished bad in the we finished 10th I think in the league, we didn't have Europe or anything. Next season we won the league. I think it was under Conte, if I remember.
I see.
But yeah, this time it will be really hard because Pep is a different level of manager and Arsenal are also looking good. So, what were you saying? Aston Villa, you were saying something.
Yeah, you could consider other teams, I was saying, if you really want to go different. But Aston Villa will have European commitments. Newcastle.
Newcastle also have Europe. My surprise would be maybe actually Newcastle will not finish in European places. They'll play good, but they might be outside of top 8.
Right, yeah. Something will happen to these teams who
Brighton are there,
like
Aston Villa are there.
Football now.
Yeah. Because all of the other, Arsenal can get affected by that also because they have not played Europe in a while.
Yes.
So
I
that
agree.
Could.
Maybe win the Champions League instead of the league.
I like the way I actually didn't think about that. Maybe I should have changed my top four.
Yeah, you still have time. We locked this in.
You know what? I'll put Liverpool winning the title. I'm changing it.
So Liverpool don't have any European thing to deal with this season? Interesting.
Right? Yeah. Do they have anything? Even if they have, it would be maybe they will not focus that much on it. But I'll put Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal. I fully changed it. Yes,
from
last minute change.
To third.
RKO out of nowhere.
Not even.
Yeah, because I just remembered, and then you also reminded me about them winning the Champions League. So,
yeah, I mean, that could be later stages of the Champions League. We might.
I expect, yeah, even Arsenal fans would expect that. You said like winning. I expect them to at least reach last 16.
Yeah, I think good season for us will be to finish in top two and also reach like later stages of the Champions League and reach quarterfinals or semifinals of the Champions League. I think that'll be a minimum expectation that club should have.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens. Anything more than that will be obviously welcomed.
Nice. I like these. It's looking very different now between us. Otherwise, yeah. Usually it's the same. Mm-hmm. So, and then finally, relegation contenders or predictions, which will most likely not get right. But yeah,
I can go first on that because I've been.
I think one team will be common between us.
I think I'll do Wolves first. They struggled last season, and now they don't have manager either. Haven't signed many players this window. Lost Ruben Neves.
Yeah.
Lost Raul Jimenez as well.
Yeah.
So I'll probably put them for relegation.
Okay.
Second would be Luton Town, obviously like Minos, and first time in the Premier League, and
man,
it's a small stadium, and I don't think they can do any surprises this season. Although you can never deny that. But
I was going to say, if I was in UK, it would have been nice to watch Chelsea play at Luton, because I'd like to see their stadium. It's very
So Luton Town, and third one probably Sheffield United.
Okay.
Because they have a habit of bouncing back and forth.
They had a few seasons under what's his name.
They surprised and they stayed up. And,
yeah.
And then like following season they went down.
Yeah, I forgot their manager name.
Yeah, I forgot too.
They had this system of centre back bombing up.
Yeah, there was our favorite Lundstrom.
Lundstrom was over there, fantasy point
legend.
Legend, yeah, Lord Lundstrom, as people called him. But yeah, my prediction is I think it's time for Everton, because they have still not improved their squad.
Mm-hmm.
They escaped relegation two seasons in a row.
Right.
And it's not looking like they've done anything to improve their squad.
The only thing is that they have Sean Dyche for the full season, who has good experience of keeping teams alive. But so it's worth a shout, because every season this might be their time.
Yeah.
Third time.
I actually wanted to put Wolves in there, but now I don't, because I have seen Gary O'Neill do good job at Bournemouth. So he might improve Wolves even if they don't have signings. Mm-hmm. And their squad is probably better than Everton at the moment, which is why I put Everton there. Okay. My another surprise would be West Ham there, because David Moyes has also not strengthened his squad enough.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they are in Europa League, which is also another problem they could face, because their squad is not strengthened. They have lost Declan Rice. They might lose Paqueta. They have Europa League to contend with, along with Premier League.
Yeah.
And they also survived relegation last season as well.
Yeah.
Maybe towards the end they escaped it, but
yeah,
I have them as also another relegation team. Well, let me put this down.
So that's more.
This is looking more exciting than the this prediction. So you have Luton, which Luton is also my third team.
Sheffield and
Wolves. Yeah, so Luton is my third team to get relegated. They'll have some good results, though. They might do some surprises. Luton Town throughout the season, but yeah, it won't be enough to. That's just the under dog.
Yeah, I mean, we think that Burnley will do enough to survive, though.
Yeah, Burnley have totally changed their style of play under Company, and they also seem to have more funding this time around. They're signing a lot of good players.
Yeah.
Who did they sign recently? they signed the goalkeeper from Man City for 19-20 million pounds. James Trafford.
Kind of like
played. But that guy won the Euros under 21 with England, and he's a pretty good goalkeeper. But that just shows the market we have these days. So my predictions were Everton, West Ham and
after
Luton.
Winning the Conference League.
After winning the Conference League in Europa League. What if they win the Europa League and get relegated? They'll be in Champions League from Championship.
Interesting.
That won't happen. Another thing was...
bomb.
Wait, before you say it, Declan Rice was also a big part of them winning the Conference League last season.
That is true.
So that will be a big miss, and they have not strengthened. So those were our predictions. One, just to sum up before you show your Ronstein bomb and we get out of this podcast. Arsenal, Man City, Liverpool, United, Chelsea, top five finishers for you.
Mm-hmm.
For me, last minute changes, Liverpool, City, Arsenal, Chelsea and United.
Okay.
Top five. And for relegation contender, not contenders, relegation predictions, you had Luton, Sheffield and Wolves.
Yeah.
And I had Everton, West Ham and Luton.
Okay.
We'll see. I'll post this on Twitter.
Yeah.
So we have a record, and also we have a record anyways with Excel.
Yeah.
So that's it, guys, for the Premier League, and we can bow out from with you telling us about the on-steam bomb.
Steam bomb, you might be happy with this that Chelsea have submitted offer for Lavia.
What?
50 million, 48 million including add-ons.
With this
closest anyone has come to Saints.
Oh my God, we are just so we are in the business of just stealing players from other teams.
Dialogue continues. So.
You know what? This makes me think that Caicedo is not coming.
Yeah, probably. I was going to ask you about alternatives because you'll probably like start.
Yeah.
Moving on to different targets, or at least like make it seem that you are not just like reliant on him to join your club.
Yeah.
It's a good move.
I would be happy even though he is still 19, but he played well last season. And he is like out of the options I mentioned other than Caicedo. I think he is the one not injured with Premier League experience. So maybe the plan is to still go for Caicedo, but in January or next year, because this year is proving to be too hard. And we need someone to start the season for us. And it would be funny if we got it under Liverpool's nose. Why are we in this business? We just steal players. But yeah, that was a bomb. I'll think about that now.
Okay.
But thanks for reporting it. We have become Fabrizio Romano of podcast world. Here we go has been done. Not done yet, but yeah, we'll see. Or maybe it's just a trick to fall to
you never
ask
know
Leo.
Because it's not like I mean it's probably
but if Ornstein is saying
million,
it it could be legit, right?
No, it is legit. I was just saying that there is a chance that like Southampton might reject it too, so it's not like
I see
directly meeting the evaluation and getting chances of that bid accepted, so it's like just on that zone where you might get
or you know
discount of 2 million on him if they accept. If they don't, then
who knows this transfer market? Well, it could be a ploy for us to have Liverpool pay the exact amount because they are also not
it's something
like
similar to what City was trying to do for us with Rice. Just like put a bid in and then
They had no intention of buying that. They just put a bid.
Yeah, that just expedited our process, I think. Like, three days later, we hadn't signed.
All right, then that's it.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll hopefully do another podcast in 6 months' time. Or not, maybe before that. But this was a good one. Good luck for all your teams in the upcoming season. And then before we go, where can the people listen to us, Akshay?
People can listen to us at Two Substitutes, Two with a Number.
On?
And on all of the podcasting mediums, all of the
listen.
Social media platforms, whichever you prefer.
Yes. That's all.
All right.
Have a good one, everyone.
Yeah, I was going to say weekend, but it's not.
It's not. I wish it was two more days. Okay, bye guys.
All right, bye.